Well, good morning. Thank you for being here today. I know it's the very last session, so I really appreciate you all sticking through towards the end of the conference and giving me the opportunity to share some of my research with you. Today, I'm going to be specifically sharing some research where I looked at the relationship between traditional gender roles and other cultural values and substance abuse, intimate partner violence, and risky sexual behaviors among a community sample of Hispanic women. Before I get started, I wanted to acknowledge the research center where I work at. We have a health disparities research center, which focuses on health disparities affecting Hispanic populations, specifically in the areas of behaviorally rooted conditions such as substance abuse, HIV, and domestic violence. And I also want to acknowledge some supplemental funds that I received through the university to conduct this study. Just to give you some background, Hispanics and Hispanic females in particular face a number of health disparities related to behaviorally rooted conditions and mental health conditions. So for example, Hispanic women are 3 times more likely to be infected with HIV when compared to non-Hispanic white women. There's also disparities in the area of substance abuse, intimate partner violence, and other mental health conditions such as depression. And these conditions represent 4 of the 10 leading health indicators in Healthy People 2010, which we're seeing are also coming up in Healthy People 2020. And understanding the relationships between these conditions is really crucial in really understanding the disproportionate burden of disease that affects Hispanics and being able to create culturally tailored interventions to address these health disparities. Syndemic theory is a theory that I came across when I was conducting my dissertation research that really helped me conceptualize the relationships between all of these behaviorally rooted conditions. According to syndemic theory, conditions occur in unison and are intertwined and account for the disproportionate burden of disease that affect a lot of the marginalized groups. So from a syndemic perspective, rather than talking about comorbidities, where we're talking about, let's say, a substance abuse and an HIV comorbidity, the idea here is that there's epidemics that occur in unison that are inseparable in the sense that they don't have distinct etiologies or distinct causes, but they have common causes. So they have common risk and protective factors. The word syndemic and this theory was first developed by a medical anthropologist by the name of Merrill Singer that did work with marginalized groups in inner city Hartford, Connecticut. And his work was actually in the area of substance abuse, violence, and AIDS. And what he found was that it was impossible to separate these conditions, that they really were part of an underlying phenomenon, a symptom, so to speak, of something underlying them that was accounting for disparities in these populations. Since then, the CDC has adopted this syndemic orientation and has really worked to expand this approach. And the approach here is to consider coexisting epidemics or afflictions that occur in unison, and not only look at these afflictions in unison, but really try to understand these ties or the links that connect these conditions. The idea here is that by understanding these links, then we're able to develop interventions that target the links and prevent the clustering of these epidemics. So we can get more bang for our buck, so to speak, in terms of public health. So although it makes a lot of sense for all of us here probably to think about HIV and substance abuse and violence and mental health being part of one underlying phenomenon and considering them in unison, there's really hasn't been a whole lot of research in this area. So we really need to gain our understanding in terms of how these conditions co-occur, and more importantly, what are the links that bring these conditions together so that we can develop interventions that focus on these links and aim to eliminate health disparities. So the aims of this particular presentation is to specifically describe the relationship between traditional gender roles, which could be considered as one potential link for these conditions, and substance abuse, IPV, risky sexual behaviors, and mental health among Hispanics. And then to identify other cultural variables or other cultural factors that could also serve as these links. The hypothesis here is that if you have, or if you're in a culture with more traditional gender roles, then you might be more likely to be at risk for intimate partner violence or HIV and these other systemic factors. So I just wanted to place this study within the context of my research in general. So I've been working on trying to develop a syndemic model for understanding these, the co-occurrence of these conditions and potential linking factors. And so through qualitative and quantitative research that I've conducted with Hispanics in South Florida, I've learned a great deal in terms of some of these potential links. And so what I'm aiming to do is test these links to try to identify which factors are most important to target in interventions. And the focus of this particular presentation is the cultural factors in specific, where I'm going to be looking at the role that traditional gender roles play, as well as acculturation, Hispanic stress, which is the stress that encompasses common stressors that Hispanics face living in the United States, such as economic and occupational stressors, language-related stressors, family issues as well. And then lastly, looking at familism, the important role that family and that value that family should play an important role in one's life plays. So the data that I'm using here to test this is baseline data from a randomized clinical trial testing the efficacy of an HIV prevention program that was specifically designed for Hispanic women. And this program is called CEPA, which stands for Salud, Educación, Prevención, y Autocuidado, Health, Education, Prevention, and Self-Care. In order to participate in this trial, women had to identify as being Hispanic or Latina. Between the ages of 18 and 50, they also had to identify as being sexually active and being able to speak English or Spanish. We used community-based methods to recruit participants in the study, and we conducted a standardized assessments with these women where we read to them these standardized questions in a face-to-face interview format. We found in our research that that has been very important in type of methodology to use when we're dealing with Hispanic and Hispanic women in particular. And we used the assistance of a computer internet-based data collection system that collected the data and stored it online. We met with participants in community sites, and we compensated them with $50 for their time and travel and childcare. So here are a list of what I'm going to start referring to as the syndemic factor. So, you know, I have a lot of outcomes that I've been talking about, substance abuse, HIV, violence, mental health. And what we've done is collapse all of these health outcomes into one syndemic factor. So my outcome that I'm talking about here is the syndemic, which encompasses substance abuse, alcohol and illicit drug use, violence that includes not only intimate partner violence, but a lifetime history of violence as well. So if people have been exposed to child abuse or adult abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, psychological, and community violence as well. And this relates to having family or friends that have died in a violent way, in a homicide, for example, or having family and friends that have participated in gangs or being themselves participants of gangs and that type of experience. Then we looked at risk for HIV, which included condom use, which is actually we had to remove from the syndemic factor because it didn't fit well with these other variables. And this is something that we find over and over again because condom use rates are so low that there's really not, it doesn't really fit well with the rest of these health risk factors. Partner risk for HIV is also included. So this is information regarding the risk factors that a partner may have, such as having a history of a sexually transmitted infection or their substance abuse and risky sexual behaviors, which we know is the determining factor in terms of risk for women. And then a history of sexually transmitted infections. And then for depression, we use depressive symptoms from the CESD. The cultural measures that we're including here, we have measures for traditional gender roles, acculturation, Hispanic stress, and feminism. And I do want to spend just a little bit of time talking about the traditional gender role measure. We took upon the risk of using a new measure of machismo, which is this traditional sense of men having greater power than women and being able to have certain privileges that women don't have within the Hispanic culture. And this new measure for machismo is a measure that encompasses both the positive parts of machismo, which they call machismo, and then the negative parts of machismo, and then the positive parts of machismo, such as the importance of men being there to protect the family and being engaged as strong fathers in the family, which we can think as being a protective factor for these syndemic conditions. So we used this measure, and it actually did not perform well at all. It performed really poorly. And so we did a bunch of different analysis to try to save the questions and reorganize the questions. But regardless of what we did, we couldn't save the measure. So we reduced it to one item, which was control over wife. The belief that our participants had in terms of men being in control of their wives. We measured acculturation according to how American they were or how Hispanic they were. And then we also measured Hispanic stress and feminism. We did a structural equation modeling where we had this endemic factor entered as a latent variable, and then control variables that included years in the U.S. and education, and then the cultural variables were entered as exogenous variables. As you can see here, our sample consisted of middle adulthood women. The majority of them had at least a high school education. They were living with their partners. The majority of them were unemployed and had an income of less than $2,000 a month. There were high indicators of this endemic factor, especially in the area of depression. So if you look at the cutoff score here of 16, the mean score of 16 is over the cutoff point for CSD in terms of, you know, classifying depression. So there was high levels of depression. The majority did not report intimate partner violence, but did have a history of abuse. There was 7% reported history of sexually transmitted infections, and so on and so forth. There was also a high level of exposure to Hispanic stress. The majority of the participants really felt that family was an important source of support, and then 10% of the sample endorsed that machismo question of whether men should be in control of their wives. And you can see here that our sample consisted of women that were more Hispanic than were American, with about 30% of them being both highly American and highly Hispanic. So according to our results, I'm going to move you here to our model. As you can see on the left-hand side, these are all the syndemic factors, and these syndemic factors work together as an underlying phenomenon, so they fit really nicely together. The cultural variables and the control variables actually was able to explain 61% of the variance in the syndemic factor. So this means that it seems to play a very important role. Machismo, at least the measure that we used, did not predict the syndemic factor, but the other cultural variables did. Hispanic stress in particular had a very strong relationship with the syndemic factor. Support from family was also protective for the syndemic factor. And if you were separated, meaning if you had high Hispanicism and low Americanism, you were protected from this endemic factor. And this is actually fits very well in terms of what we find in the literature, in terms of the acculturation really being a source of stress and a source that provides risk, increased risk for populations. There's numerous limitations that need to be mentioned, such as the fact that this was a convenient sample of women. It was a cross-sectional design. It was really disappointing that we couldn't use the machismo measure that had both the positive and the negative. But this is definitely an area that needs more research and more development of culturally appropriate tools. And then the last limitation that I'm mentioning here is that even though I found good model fit with the indicators that I included, that doesn't mean that there's not alternative explanations. So I'm out of time, so I'm just going to highlight some of the major implications and conclusions. It really does appear that the SAVA, the substance abuse, violence, HIV, risk behaviors, and mental health really come together and represent some underlying phenomenon among Hispanic women. And understanding this underlying phenomenon and the cultural factors and other factors that might predict this is really important for us in terms of developing interventions. Based on what we have found here on this, with this study, it seems to be very important to include intervention strategies that address Hispanic stress and the acculturation process, and that also help families, Hispanic families, maintain their close ties with one another in terms of protecting them against this cluster of negative health outcomes. Thank you.